Hey, this is Steve Snowball Sailor, and this is previously what happened on This Week in Geek. I have no idea what happened, but listen to this anyway.
I'm going to jail.
Of course you are.
Hey.
Where else are you going to go?
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad.
That was a good show, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You think they'd let you have, like, Power Rangers toys in jail, though?
If they weren't dangerous.
Yeah. I don't think they'd let him have a dragon dagger or a talking sword.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm going to stab you with Saba, motherfucker.
He's trying to shank somebody with a talking plastic sword. It's morphin' time.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Laura.
And you're listening to 10 years of This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
This is TV's Mr. Neil of TheCN.com, and you're listening to This Week in Geek, a science train wreck.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Ryan the Uneven Flow, who is mocking WWE like always.
To be fair, I mock pretty much everything.
Well, yes, but seeing as how this is
You don't really need to limit it to just WWE. I mean, I'm on this show and I mock it relentlessly.
Ain't that the truth? Also joining us is TV's Mr. Neil.
Trial by stone.
More beer. Nice.
It's a sody.
I know. It's a sody? Really?
I have hick cousins. And they're like, haha, cousin Neil, you say pop because you're from Chicago. We call it a sody down here. I'm like, you did not just say that.
I think it's supposed to be pop in Canada, too, but I just call it cola.
I've always called it soda. But anyway.
This gives me an idea, though. Next time we record and I have the next day off, I should get loaded for this podcast.
You should have gotten loaded for season 5 of Breaking Bad. That would have been hilarious.
No, because I'm a depressed drunk already. That's the last thing I need when Andrea takes a bullet to the back of the head.
I actually just edited that, and it'll be online soon, folks. But we are here to talk about the nerd news for this past week. We've got a bunch of stories for you. First, right off the bat, did everybody see the Star Trek Discovery first look trailer that put out?
I just watched it.
Captain, where are we going? We have no map, and you can't set a course without a star. It's hard to imagine. You've served under me for 7 years.
Commander Burnham.
I think it is time we talked about you having your own command.
Tutor transport.
Great unifiers are few and far between, but they do come. Often such leaders will need a profound cause for their followers to rally around.
What am I looking at?
Object of unknown origin.
We've come all this way, Captain. It would be irresponsible to leave whatever that is unknown.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Computer. Enable igniter.
Captain, warp signatures detected.
Contact Starfleet Command. We have engaged the Klingons.
You will never learn, Vulcan. Your tongue is too human.
I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save all of you. We target its neck, cut off its head. Starfleet doesn't fire first.
We have to.
My people were biologically determined for one purpose alone, to sense the coming of death. I sense it coming now.
I am a casual Star Trek fan at best. I mean, I grew up watching TNG. I've seen most of the TNG movies. I've seen various episodes of the classic series and things like that. I'm like I said, casual fan at best of Star Trek. I like it, but I'm not sure if it's going to last more than one season.
Oh, I mean, there's a variety of issues with it, right? I mean, being on the CBS All Access and the fact that it's entered... seemingly keeps entering development hell and coming back out of it. I mean, I thought the trailer looked pretty good, but it doesn't, you know, give away a lot and that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
it, you know, the story is going to make or break it, especially since they seem to want to do this more sort of serialized storytelling where, you know, everything's going to lead into everything, which is sort of the norm for TV. Like, Star Trek used to always be episodic. I'm perfectly fine with them trying to tell an overall story. Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not everybody involved with it can do that. I thought they were in really good hands when Fuller started out, but he left, and it just seems to be a revolving door of pretty much everything.
Yeah. It's hard to really have any opinion about it at this point because I don't know what this is about. So yeah. I'm like, I'm watching it, I'm like, yep, it's Star Trek, and it's pretty slick. It looks a lot better than pretty much any other show that's been on the air thus far, but I don't know anything about it, so it's like it could be good, it could be it's...
Mike may be able to review things based on the trailers, but I cannot.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so I have friends that keep up with this stuff. I know it takes place 10 years before Kirk, so it's essentially a prequel series. You know, I liked the trailer. I personally am not going to sit here and pay for CBS Access or All Access or whatever it's called. Like, they should have put this on television. I know they're putting the first episode on CBS, on the actual television network, but after that, apparently, it's only going to be on the All Access paywall subscription thing. And I'm sorry, I am not paying for another subscription service. I pay for Netflix and Hulu. If it's not on either one of those, then I'll catch it at some point when it hits DVD.
Yeah, and distribution's an issue everywhere. So apparently it's going to air on TV here. But then in terms of streaming afterwards, nobody seems 100% sure. It'll probably be on space. But yeah, there seems to be... I don't know what it is with the science fiction shows lately. Like The Expanse has an exclusive deal with Amazon Prime streaming in North America, which doesn't do it any favors because not many people use it. It's not a great service, especially here in Canada, where it's only like a handful of different things. And so, yeah, it's another example of a sci-fi series that for whatever reason they've just really limited the options on. Outside of North America, it's available on Netflix, which, you know, is smart.
Yeah,
I guess suppose like, well, it only hurts the network that's airing it though in the end, because Alcon, the Canadian company that makes that series based out of Toronto, which by the way, Star Trek was filmed in Toronto as well. But their Alcon makes a killing from Expanse because of the limited distribution. It's constantly one of the highest sellers on Google Play and the iTunes store. So, but all it does is hurt the networks. So CBS is going to fall into that same thing, I think. I personally, I'm a big enough Trek fan that if it's on CBS All Access, I'd pay for it if I, you know, lived in the States. But yeah, I don't know how many people... It's one of the problems with digital distribution in general, right? Everybody saw that Netflix was doing well, and then they all decided, oh, I want a piece of this pie. So now ABC, you know, HBO, everybody's got to get on board CBS with their own distribution, and they're just going to ruin it. The same way, you know, you got to pay $200 to get all the cable channels you need.
Yeah.
Or want, sorry, not need.
Yeah, that's just, it's just crazy. It looks like it's going to be a good series. It really does. And I like that they're trying to do something different. I saw some comments, I don't know if it was on the video itself or one of the websites that posted the story about the video being online, but some of the comments are like, oh, it looks like Abramsverse effects. Well, yeah, this is the 21st century. Of course, there's going to be modern effects for Star Trek has always been a pioneer for, you know, advanced effects in television.
Oh. I do have to say, you know, you mentioned comments on it. One of my other favorite comments was the idiots talking about how it's, my favorite is, they called it SJW Trek because it's diverse and that kind of thing, which I think is hilarious because I read those and go, have you ever watched an episode of Star Trek?
That's the whole point of it.
That is the entire point of the series since day one.
Yeah.
It is generally, you know, it's always tried to be really progressive. I don't know what you've been watching, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. All right, Neil, what do you got for your first story?
Well, we have yet another retro console here, the Retron 1 HD, which is a HD NES. In the wake of the NES Classic Edition getting axed way too early, we have Hyperkin releasing an HD NES. It's not an emulation console like the NES Mini or like the Retron 5. It's not like that. It's an actual hardware clone, and you know, like it says, it plays your NES cartridges and it's in HD. Not to shit on my own article, but this is like one among many of these consoles like this. And I'm hoping that it's not just another NES on a chip, because then it's like it does a good enough job, but like some of the sound emulation is kind of wonky and the colors are not always quite right. And that's always been the problem with these consoles. I hope that they're going to remedy that this time around. Mm. But I do also have to say that it's a good alternative to more expensive systems like the AVS or the Analog NT, which is like the closest comparison you can make. Those are also HD consoles, but those are also hyper accurate, and they're also really, really expensive. So that's basically it.
Yeah, in terms of affordability, there's stuff out there too. I don't know how much I should encourage this on a podcast, anyway. You can build your own with the RetroPie systems. You can actually get kits for cheaper than the NES Classic, for example, and build your own retro system. I mean, there's lots of really good reproduction controllers now.
And if you happen to be a graphic artist and have a graphic tablet, you could just put an emulator on your tablet and play it anywhere.
Are you admitting to anything?
I may or may not be admitting to emulators on my tablet. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't go into any detail. Don't look at me. I don't even know how these things work.
Computers, what are those? Yeah, I was going to say, computers, what are those? Oh, boy. All right, Ryan, what do you got for your first story?
I like how I always keep these secret until the actual show. Anyway, my main one is about, I feel like one of the kings of all nerds. You should, you know, by the time this episode is up, it'll still be airing. But I highly recommend people check out twitch.tv. You know, that's Twitch for anyone who doesn't know. And for once, there's something on it I can recommend. And that is... type in twitch.tv/Mr. Rogers, all one word. They have been airing in order, 24 hours, 7 days a week, every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yep.
And they began in black and white, which, by the way, was really kind of neat to see. They actually turned the Twitch page black and white and the chat, which was a nice touch. But they're well into the episodes, which are in color at this point.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Hi, neighbor. This is a special day.
And there's some other kind of neat surprises. One is Betty Aberlin, who played Lady Aberlin in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Has been jumping in and out of the Twitch chat, as well as you can follow her on Twitter, which I recommend just in general. But you can follow her on Twitter, and she's been answering questions and kind of tweeting out some facts and that kind of thing about the show. So it's kind of neat to see. But yeah, this is one of the... I'm really an American institution.
Yes, it is.
Not even American, I should say. I mean, he started out in Canada, but I mean, it's a world, you know, anybody listening to this knows who Mr. Rogers is. And I think relatively, despite your age, I mean, it aired for a long time after it ended, but the final episode was in, what was it? Oh, no, it was 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
So yeah, most people listening at this point have probably seen an episode of Mr. Rogers, or at least know who he is.
Absolutely.
2001, the year the world changed. We lost Bozo and Mr. Rogers. And something else happened in September. I don't know.
Oh, dude!
I wasn't. No, I'm
that's not even... Well, that's...
Well, Fred Rogers passed in in 2003.
Yeah.
The show ended, but yeah.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
No disrespect. In many ways, it is kind of like that. Like, the whole world kind of changed in that year. And, like, yeah, a lot of my favorite... television shows kind of like disappeared in that year, and then like just kind of like this sobering reality that kind of happened that year.
But that's awesome that Twitch is doing that, and that, you know, go back to your, because for me Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers were the two educational shows to watch.
Yeah, they were the best. And weren't there like there I remember that there were very few episodes missing for like a show that actually ran that long. Like, it was like as low as five, and a couple of them actually resurfaced fairly recently on YouTube and they got immediately taken down. And I'm wondering how many episodes were actually missing for this. Like, if it was like as low as like one or two.
For Mr. Rogers, they've been airing a lot of the suppressed episodes, stuff that aired once and has never aired again. So, surprisingly, it's been remarkably complete so far. We'll see as it goes on, because some of the... I think the majority of the suppressed ones were in the 80s, so... We'll see, because they're still in the 70s at this point, I believe.
Yeah, a majority of the suppressed ones had to be in the 80s, because that was when, you know, the parent-teacher associations, you know, spoke up about everything. If anybody was trying to teach anybody a lesson about anything that shouldn't have been on television, they rallied against it.
But weren't they mostly going after, like, He-Man? They were. I can't imagine they were actually going after Mr. Rogers.
I don't know. There are a lot of Mr. McFeely jokes, so...
This was well after the... Yeah, the Mr. Rogers debate was ended in the 60s. I mean, he got the PBS funding... more than doubled at one point during a congressional hearing. Yeah, the majority of it was about the fact that, to be blunt, and this is completely true, I mean, the television shows for children in the 80s, the majority of them were half-hour toy commercials.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Transformers, He-Man, and the like only existed to sell toys and were just sort of products of... Sadly, they were products of marketing, so...
Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't make them bad. It's just that's all the main reason they existed, so...
I always wanted the toys that he had in his kitchen.
And I know.
He had the best toys. I'm like, I want to play with those.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm completely with you. And
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They had these great models of the neighborhood of make-believe, and... I was always sad when he replaced them with something else. Like, he had episodes where he would bring, like, paper sort of mock-ups and that kind of thing. And I always thought, why would you play with those? You get the awesome models.
Absolutely. For my first story, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 opened a couple weeks ago, and some guy sued his date for texting during the show.
What?
Yeah. If you thought a talking raccoon and a sentient tree helping keep the world safe was a far-fetched, well, life, it turns out it's stranger than fiction. A Texas man is suing his date for texting on her phone during a performance of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The real clincher is that he's only asking for a paltry $17.31, the price of admission for the 3D showing.
Which, man, my ticket was $25, but I went to the VIP and then ordered a poutine, so...
Yeah. He apparently asked the woman to stop. He suggested she leave the auditorium to continue texting, which she did, and never came back. I loved, and the only reason why I found this out is because I watched, I'd seen James Gunn tweet it, and James Gunn's tweet is, why stop at suing? She deserves jail time.
Capital punishment.
Yes. It's just so hilarious. What the hell, people? I just can't understand why you would sue somebody over the price of admission to a movie theater for any movie, not just Guardians of the Galaxy. And the article went on to say something about the fact that it's the principle of the thing, that texting goes against the theater, you know, policy of, you know, turn your phone off, blah, blah. I know there are plenty of people today that do not turn their phones off during the theater, because I know several people that live tweet movies at times. So, you know, I don't know. But that was just one of those crazy stories that I ran across.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's...
I mean, I understand that you only get to see a movie for the first time once, and like you can go see it a second time, but it's never as good as seeing it the first time. But you know, there are going to be other movies, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there are going to be other awesome movies that you could see and enjoy them for the first time and have that experience all over again. It's like let it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, she probably should have just he could have, you know, ask somebody to remove her, that kind of thing, or
coffee,
you know.
Monster.
Yeah, I know. That sounds bad, but I mean, yeah, it's
to be fair, if he had done that, he might have come out to find his car keyed.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh my god, it's just so hilarious. All right, Neil, what do you got for your second story?
It is the Netflix series based on the Dark Crystal. This is a prequel of the original movie, which did not do very well the first time it came out, but has since become a cult classic.
Yeah, this looks interesting.
Yeah. And I really wish that Jim could have been around to see this. He is one of my heroes, and I understood he took it really badly when this movie failed. because he said he was like the most proud of this movie than he was of anything he ever did. I get the impression that he felt he got saddled with the Muppets. I mean, everybody loves the Muppets, but you know, it's like the first thing you ever do in your life, you make like a little puppet frog out of like an old coat and a couple ping pong balls, and that's all that anyone ever remembers from you. And like, you make your magnum opus, and everyone's just kind of like, eh. So I'm glad it's finally gotten the following that it has, but I wish he could have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be nice. There's a there's a teaser up for it already, but you know, like Discovery, it doesn't exactly give away a whole lot.
No.
But yeah, and I'm happy it's Netflix doing this, because they seem a little more eager to take chances on things like this, because to be honest, much as I hate to say it, because I generally prefer practical effects, stuff like puppetry is really kind of risky nowadays, it seems like, or it's regarded that way.
Yeah, it is.
Like, Mad Max Fury Road was gutsy, just because, I mean, there's very little CGI in it, and that was considered like this. It was considered, you know, this big, it was just a big deal, which is kind of depressing, because, you know, action films and that kind of thing, you shouldn't necessarily need CGI. I understand with something like Transformers, but it would be nice to go back to a more practical use of puppets, costuming, that kind of thing. I miss it, and I think that's one of the reasons why Dark Crystal is so popular today. The puppetry in general is excellent, of course.
Of course, yeah. And I think the issue with trying to do puppetry today is what you just said. Everyone is used to CGI and everything being, you know, high definition this, high definition that. You know, we just released over on GCRM, we just released MWire 133, where we talked about the Rambo franchise. And until I had gone back and watched some of these movies again, which I've seen the Rambo movies barely remembered them until I actually watched them again, but just discovering how good traditional effects and you know, stunt work is, you know, this current generation is really spoiled with CGI and digital effects and everything else, but...
Sort of, but I mean, for example, to use Mad Max again, the CGI in it sticks out like a sore thumb. Like, the practical stuff looks so much better. And that's what happens when you mix them. Like, Transformers has a lot of CGI, but is any of the action coherent, easy to follow, and well done? No. I mean, it's a bunch of generic shapes punching each other. There's no heft or weight to any of the action sequences, and there's no real sense of danger, because you can never tell clearly what's going on.
Yeah.
And... you know, you compare that to something like The Raid, which is pretty much, you know, all practical action.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're complete 180s from each other. So yeah, I'm really happy about this in general, but B, I'm hoping that stuff like Dark Crystal and some of the others will remind people that practical is not necessarily something that shouldn't be looked at as an option when you're making your movie or TV series.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you got for your second story, Ryan?
Speaking of CGI messes, or potential ones, The Flash is continuing to try to find a director. This time we have Matthew Vaughn, Robert Zemeckis, Sam Raimi, all supposedly rumored. Raimi apparently basically said he doesn't want to do it. Vaughn is probably just using it for leverage. I don't think he's interested, which pretty much just leaves Zemeckis as the only one. But he's already busy, so I don't know.
What's he busy with? Back to the Future 4?
No. What the hell's he making? I can't remember now.
I saw when this article came up, and honestly, between the three of them, I wouldn't mind Vaughn or Zemeckis, but I do not want Sam Raimi doing superheroes ever again. I'm sorry.
No, and I like Sam Raimi quite a bit, but yeah, the Spider-Man stuff just kind of ran out of steam.
Yep.
I'm fine with, you know, somebody else. I wouldn't mind somebody else getting a shot. So yeah, maybe Zemeckis. Matthew Vaughn obviously has a number of good superhero movies. He has some not so good ones too, but for the most part, he's been more hit than miss. I also think, you know, obviously it's a little more difficult to get somebody on this because it's a DCU movie and it doesn't have the best track record thus far, we'll say. Although I'll flat out say it, Wonder Woman's by far the best DC Universe live action film. That's not saying much. I'm not supposed to say an awful lot more. I mean,
right.
It's the Doctor Strange of DCU films. Like, it's solid. It's way better than what came before, at least.
Yeah.
But has its problems.
There was a picture I saw earlier that somebody had shared, and I reshared it. It was Wonder Woman holding the two of them on the back, on her back, and like, I got this, like, saving the DC extended film universe, holding Batman and Superman.
It probably will. This is the first one I think has a real... I mean, I hope it makes money, because it's actually a good movie.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of people that are feeling burned, so I can't necessarily blame them if they don't want to, you know, blow their money on this. There's so many other, you know, films coming out this summer.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if this summer, even though they're, and we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, even though they're spread out a lot this year for any of the films, I'm wondering if this summer is too fully loaded.
Well, yeah, we've already had some haves and have-nots, though. I mean, obviously Guardians was a have. I mean, it crushed everything. It actually beat Alien Covenant on Sunday as well. But then you got the have-nots, right? I mean, King Arthur is an absolute bomb. It's going to lose close to $100 million. So, yeah, not so good for them. But then, yeah, we've had other stuff. You know, obviously, Beauty and the Beast succeeded. Fate of the Furious did well, so...
Yeah, this year is going to be strange for all films, all major block. I'm not talking about the stuff that's...
TV's pretty loaded, too, because as we speak, you know, Twin Peaks is returning. We've got Defenders coming up, Game of Thrones returns, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yep. TV is, It's going to be all kinds of loaded hell this year later. But yeah, I think I said this last week. I might have said this the last 2 weeks. Wonder Woman is the first DC film since Batman Forever that I'm actually looking forward to watching. No, since The Dark Knight. Dark Knight.
I was gonna say Batman Forever.
Well,
also, wow, did you get burned by that one?
No, I like Forever. Batman and Robin is a pill to swallow, but I like Batman Forever. No, but
I mean, you're wrong, but okay. Speaking of which, by the way...
oh, no, here we go.
No, this goes back to my earlier story. Michael Keaton, of course, the first film Batman post Adam West. But anyway, Keaton got his start on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He would operate the picture-picture and do some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. He was in front of the camera on a couple of occasions, though.
Sweet. Awesome. Sweet. All right, so we are about 2 months away from San Diego Comic-Con, and IDW has released a press release about how you can win tickets to San Diego Comic-Con and party with the cast of Wynonna Earp. Traveling Stories teams with IDW Publishing for the ultimate Comic-Con experience. Imagine winning the ultimate San Diego Comic-Con experience, where you and a friend will party with the cast of the sci-fi series Wynonna Earp, take a selfie with Kevin Eastman, and you'll bring home a curated collection of IDW Publishing comic books. Plus, the winner will also get a round-trip airfare for two, hotel accommodations, and in beautiful San Diego. The sweepstakes takes place online through the platform Tapcat, and will run until 11 a.m. on June 14th, 2017. Anyone in the world can bid on the sweepstakes prize for as little as $10. Each bid is a donation to Traveling Stories, a 501c3 nonprofit organization in San Diego that helps kids fall in love with reading by the fourth grade. Traveling Stories is shooting for a goal of $30,000. In the event they raise less than that amount, they'll instead split the money they do receive with the grand prize winner. The sweepstakes grand prize includes, as I said, round trip airfare for two within the continental U.S., hotel accommodations for two, 2 4-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con, 2 tickets to the Winona Earp cast party, meet and greet with Kevin Eastman and the co-creator of the TMNT, and a collection of comic books curated by IDW CEO and publisher Ted Adams. So basically, folks, head on over to travelingstories.org. Yes, travelingstories.org for more details on this contest. This would be awesome to win. This would be a great thing. And I think this is great for not only IDW, but for San Diego Comic-Con and Traveling Stories, that they're all teaming up to do this. Because all kids should read comics, or read anything, honestly, but... So, yay, contest.
Well, you told us to recycle... No, wait, read. Oh,
funny.
Hey,
a
Simpsons reference.
Oh.
So you didn't bring it up. I'll mention this, too. The last sort of note to get through, at least to me, excellent casting with Tom Hardy being named as the lead in the Venom movie for Sony. I have next to no hope of the film turning out. I really don't. I think the idea of Venom being introduced and then starring in his own solo film at the same time is not a great plan. But in any case, Hardy's a really good choice, at least. So, you know, at the very least, Sony's got good casting now.
Yeah, at the very least. The only other note I can think to bring up here, folks, is, and we're not going to get too far into this because it's a huge clusterfuck, but Last Man Standing got canceled. And supposedly it's moving to Fox because 20th Century Fox actually owns it. It's a nightmare.
At least it got picked up again.
Yeah, at least it did. I mean, the comedy has run 6 seasons.
If you want to see some sweet racism, check out all of the threads about it, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's not pretty.
I just kind of stay away from those. It's like, yep, that's going to be there. Yeah. It's like, I don't feel like depressing myself.
To infinity and beyond!
The only time men should be dancing is when other men are shooting at their feet.
Are you going to meddle up until the day you die?
And beyond. I have a very specific will.
Yeah, no, that's what video game cartoons do for us, right? Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog has turned into a very surreal thing.
And you'll find out about that later this summer.
This summer, yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Make it stop. Make it stop.
It does stop eventually.
It does stop eventually. What's going on with the movie podcast you've been working on, Neil?
We're still sitting at 2 episodes, and one is not released yet because it's kind of a mess.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'd like to announce my commissioning of 8 more seasons of The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, no. For a second there, I thought you were going to... it's too late on that. I was saying there, I thought you were going to say The Expanse, because you always promote
The
Expanse.
No, I'm still doing well. Yeah, I talked about it earlier, anyway.
Yeah, it's still doing well.
So I'd like to announce same creative team.
No.
So your series reviews can just go on forever.
No.
Oh, hell no.
No, our luck, it would be animated in the new noodly arm style that all cartoons are now.
Oh, my God,
so
yes.
It'd be like Adventure Time with the Sonic characters.
Oh, God. Stop. Make it stop. Yeah, when we set out... When I set out to craft the roadmap for Pixels in the Animation, I originally only had 2 Sonic cartoons on that list, Sad AM and Adventures. I could have put Underground on there. I could have put...
Boom.
Boom. That's the most recent one. But there was another one after that. There was one
was
in
it
between.
Like Sonic X or something.
Yes,
like that.
That's what it was. Sonic X. Yeah. I could have put Underground X and Boom on there, but yeah, no. Just
he got through Sonya yelling, "It's combat time!" every episode of Mortal Kombat. I mean, if you want to review a good animated video game series, I highly recommend the Wing Commander series that aired on USA in '96. It's now available on DVD and a number of different streaming services.
We really should have done that, and it would have crossed over with the Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat thing that they were doing.
Yeah, because it was part of the Way of the Warrior block, and it was the last episode of that. And it actually, you know, has really good voice actors, since it's Malcolm McDowell, Mark Hamill, and Tom Wilson, and Go. And Jennifer Hale.
Yeah, anything she does is great. Doesn't matter what it is.
That's a good series. Anyway.
Anyway,
things I can like pointlessly pull out of memory at will every once in a while.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. So I think that's going to do it for us here on the Nerd News Network. Where can people find you online, Neil?
Decian.com and Neil's Classic Game. Or no, that's over. Raving.hipster on Facebook.
Absolutely. Ryan, what about you?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow Neil over there. It's Peelin Bailey on Twitter.
Yes.
See, I didn't pause that time.
But you acknowledged it.
Well, kind of had to. Anyway, you can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at This Week in Geek for all the other network stuff for the two networks. And join us next week when we'll have another Nerd News episode. Maybe Mike will be back. Mike's out sick this week, so... he wasn't feeling too good, so we gave him the week off. And Andrew, I don't know where Roebuck is. Where?
He's in his tiny hometown, which is in the boonies. What the hell's the name of it now? Oh, Wallaceburg. That's it.
Okay. He's off visiting family, so who knows who's going to be here next week. I mean, obviously, I know I'll be here, but who knows? Join us next time here on the Nerd News Network. We will catch you later.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with snakes.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it calling in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listeners.